I got email from Ezekiel Kralin, and oh right, Dragon Prophecy. He writes before he sent the piece. That is chapter 8 of my novel Free Me From This Bond. 6 pages total, one third as long as Zeke's Last Supper. Well, I read Zeke's Last Supper in 3 installments, so that's fine. I don't care how long it is. This is from his weblog, Zekeblog, zekeblog.wordpress.com. For your information, he continues, Arwin Miles is my pseudonym for Larkin Kelsey, my inamorato, as you so accurately surmised. Seeing as he didn't give me permission to use his real name until later on, only after the book was published, here is his signed permission, and there's the signed permission. I'm not sure why that's necessary, but okay. Thanks again, Marco, says Ezekiel Kralin. P.S., he says, I appreciate your bringing up the gross lack of dental service for the poor in last Friday's show. You almost decided to not read it after the first 2 or 3 sentences because the opening was so horrendously disgusting as it described what it's like to live without dental care. The pain one must endure from time to time. But then you continued, but you remarked that you can't recall why you included it in your list of things to read that night. I would think that my own discussion on this matter inspired you and it slipped your mind. For some strange reason, this aspect of being low income is usually brushed under the carpet, in spite of how important it is to have dental services and how abhorrent and cruel it is to be denied such care simply because one is not affluent. So, with that in mind, Dragon Prophecy is the title of this piece. It's by Ezekiel J. Kralin, and as I said above, it's from his book Free Me From This Bond. In fact, it's chapter 8 of that book. Ezekiel J. Kralin writes, Easter Sunday was a strange, though extraordinarily wonderful day for me, and here's why. I was so certain that Arwin wanted to surprise me by holding an impromptu wedding on stage at Dolores Park, hosted by the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, that I made sure to show up within the first hour of festivities. I wasn't particularly disappointed when my great expectations didn't pan out. In fact, Arwin was nowhere to be seen. However, his spirit is already such a joy in my life that nothing could ever bring me down from that exquisite height of brotherly affection that is my darling dragon's trademark gift to all man and womankind, beloved Arwin. No words could ever come close to telling the world how joyously happy I've become, thanks to your wise friendship. But why on Goddess's green and blue earth was I convinced that a surprise wedding would be held in my honor? Learn and grow wise, little grasshopper. Seeing as I've been romancing this noble Irish deity, Manannan MacLear, for more than 6 glorious years, and I've finally recently come to realize he harbors enormous sweetness toward me, and always has since the first day we met in 2005. Boy, do I feel dumb for not realizing such a blessed situation right out of the gate. But when you've suffered one of the most face-deforming kinds of acne, frequently reoccurring sebaceous cysts on top of almost constant rejection, backstabbing, and threats from others in our dysfunctional gay family, then you can understand why my amazement at finding such a darling man like yourself, Arwin, who holds nothing but the greatest affection for yours truly at my advanced age of 61, no less. Took me quite a few years to wake up, hey, my sweet reptile. Guess I should apologize for being such a helpless slowpoke, but since I have personally gone through Hades and back again many times over for your beloved soul and happiness, as you have for me, I do acknowledge, don't you think I'm worth wait, as that is precisely how I feel about you, most beloved dragon of all possible dimensions. As far as I can tell, for well over 5 years, and thus I've begun entertaining the notion of a marriage proposal as a logical next step in our delightfully sweet association. Here's one scenario I've thought through with much deliberation. I approach you at a local bar, perhaps Moby Dick, or more likely The Mix, and say to your wondrous self, Arwin, I have 3 short, easy-to-answer questions for you that I hope you can resolve at this time without imposing upon your own vital needs for establishing connections and some truly healing R&R. You turn your dragon-like countenance toward my own visage and remark, okay, Jeannie, shoot. So I say, question number 1, how am I handling my overly gabbiness, at least in your presence? Your Predicted response, shrug of the shoulders. Question number two, with my love of eating raw garlic on almost anything, how am I handling the bad breath issue? Your predicted response, shrug of the shoulders. Okay. Oh, predicated. Right, because this is thinking through a conversation that might not ever happen, but it's in the future, and so the response is predicated, not predicted at all. So I was correcting that for nothing. Let me just continue from where I left off. You can correct the past as you will. Okay, question number three, am I learning to obey you better? To which you also respond, here it says, as predicted, with your usual infuriating neutral shrug of the shoulders. Well then, thank you for your patience and hearing me out. I guess I should go now and leave you to your other reveries. Okay, my darling. To which you reply, once more predictably and typically, with a noncommittal shrug of the shoulders. So I turn as if to exit your presence for good, then stop in some sort of pretense of surprise. Oh, I forgot. I do have one more question for you, which I guess is question number four. Please bear with me. It's rather important. To which you expel an exaggerated sigh and say, well, okay, sweetheart, but just this one time. In response, I suck my breath till my lungs almost burst and announce, Arwin Miles, you filthy cunt, will you fucking marry me for Christ's sake? But that's just one among a huge assortment of possible marriage proposal scenarios. Here's another. I'm walking rapidly from my SRO in hopes of scoring some ganja from Alan, who has just returned from Arcata, in hopes of making some good sales on hash and marijuana, bud. He's located on 18th Street between Castro and Collingwood, with his humble presentation of semi-precious stones displayed in two large clamshell halves. But before I return to his current location, I find a colorful nosegay on the sidewalk several blocks before I arrive. So I pick it up, find it to be such a pleasing fusion of pink and purple and white blossoms before I discover that it's totally plastic. Well, it's still a lovely little bouquet, most suitable for a proposal to Arwin at the Mix or Moby Dick. I therefore postpone my transaction with Alan in hopes of coming across my sweeter-than-fair-trade honey Arwin first at either bar. So I enter Moby Dick as its nearest, hoping to find him by the pool table, his usual milieu, so I can hand him the bouquet. Then say, Arwin, I have this question I need you to answer. Will you marry me, you glorious hunk of dragonhood? Then I'd place a finger on his lips and expound, wait, don't give me your answer right away. I'm going to go right now, a couple blocks up 18th, to score $20 worth of hashish. Then I'll come back in 10 or 15 minutes to hear your answer. Just think it over before I return. Alas, I could not fulfill my marriage fantasy that night, as Arwin was not present at either Moby Dick or the Mix. Life sucks sometimes, so I move ahead to purchase some righteous smoke from Alan. I also present him with my colorful nosegay, which he immediately accepts and places beside his clamshell display for some eye-catching decor. Alan is this absolutely gorgeous, free-spirited young man of about 25, who, though entirely heterosexual through and through, nonetheless holds great love and affection for his gay brothers. What a remarkable and blessed spirit he is already, right? We first met several weeks ago when I was searching for a reliable source of marijuana. I invited him home, of course. He was so damn cute, what with his golden locks of hair and a body so buff you couldn't even begin to know upon which part to drool. Turns out we had a superb conversation about the beauty of Northern California's rainforest and what a great blessing this world is, in spite of even the most difficult obstacles that are often placed in our way. But the most enjoyable and important part of our visit was my telling of the parable of the dollar store banana. It has been my habit these last several years or so to wear some sort of decorative bandana bound tightly round my cleanly shaven skull. That night I was wearing one such bandana, only received the previous evening as a gift from a new street buddy named Troy. It was a lightly colored camouflage bandana with the words from Psalm 91 printed all over. I got down on one knee facing Alan and removed the bandana from my head in order to show him the psalm and tell my story. Before departing late last night, Troy left me with a gift of that bandana, exclaiming that I was never to show it to anybody and keep it to myself. Allow me to read you the entire psalm, also known as the Psalm of Protection, with my own comments interjected between square brackets and italicized. Well, the brackets are still here, but the italics all went away when I grabbed the text and pasted it into the show file. So I'll do the best I can here. Psalm 91. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. And in brackets, God has feathers? Is He some kind of super large bird? Oh, I get it. He's a ginormous winged and feathered dinosaur, a feathered serpent like the Aztec Quetzalcoatl. If you can wrap your brain around that, then I have to say you're a better man than I am, Gunga Din. So much for being made in His own image, eh? Now it might come as a horrid revelation to some, actually replace some with many, that Jehovah's original and timeless form is that of a dinosaur, a winged dinosaur with scaly feathers, otherwise known as a dragon. And continuing with Psalm 91, His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked, if you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling. And then in brackets, yes, the Lord is my dwelling, and I assure you, my gay bros and sisses, He absolutely loves us sexual minorities. You have no need to fear Him, only to give your heart to He who adores you infinitely, my beloved siblings, for there is no living thing ever created in God's great universe that would ever be condemned to eternity in hell. That's the devil's work, I assure you, my sweet children who rose up from the dust to sing life's praise. Nor does our great Father require you to declare His Son's name or worship Him as the one true Creator. I worship my Lord with humor and with compassion. None of this silly and frightful nonsense about anyone burning away in everlasting hell. All that our Shepherd requires is that you live by the golden rule each and every day, neighbor unto neighbor, and a good Samaritan to boot. Pun intended. Worship God, worship Goddess, worship Lucifer, but don't be modest. Hell's bells, you can even worship the spaghetti monster for all Jehovah cares. For after all, YHWH truly does indeed care. And then back to Psalm 91. No harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent. And then in brackets, a tent? Even the three little pigs lived better than that. Maybe the economy back then was as sucky as it is now, with rolling foreclosures and skyrocket debt. Be that as it may, I'd much prefer God's protection from under a solid roof than in some skanky pop-up tent. There's a reason I quit the Boy Scouts. Let's just say the Scoutmaster was also a Scout masturbator, and we sure rocked that bunk bed all night long, and sometimes early into Sunday morn, while the other scouts attended church and munched on deep-throat hot dogs and ears of roasted corn. And then back to Psalm 91. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. And then in brackets, I guess this passage is just for you, Mongoose, the most incredibly handsome and righteous guardian of Allen. You're an absolute doll. And then back to Psalm 91. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. And then in brackets, note, I can surely appreciate using animals as a metaphor for evil and good, but honestly, dear readers, aren't all God's creatures divinely beautiful and good? Whether dung beetle or gazelle, warthog or cockatiel, angel or devil, and anything in between. And then back to 91. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. And that is the total sum of Psalm 91, a most encouraging and blissful passage of the Old Testament. I really don't see anything wrong with this sacred passage that can give so much hope to so many. I consider myself blessed to have been presented such a beautiful psalm in this dollar store bandana, which bandana, left to me by a most darling vagabond with woolly golden hair and deliciously deep indigo eyes, gave me such succor over yet one more lonely night. I fell asleep with his bandana, which in the latest witching light of candle and flame revealed itself as a most sacred manifestation of finely woven gold for the base cloth, along with the most delicate but strong stitching of this psalm in the finest linen thread dyed in blackest ink. Every letter was completely perceived in all its curves by a single index finger. The raised letters were all in Hebrew, yet I could understand any biblical phrases as if they were entirely in my native English tongue. The following morning, I woke up with this dollar store bandana close to my heart and too far from the dream. And on the website at this point, there's the image of a sepia cotton or linen bandana with Psalm 91 printed right on it.